In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Yeah, I just can't stay out of this letter to Timothy. Maybe because I feel it speaking to me so much. But I want to talk a little bit about it today. But in order to sort of grasp the fullness of the context, I want to back us up to verse 12 in chapter 3. Our reading actually today began with 14. So verse 12 says this, "Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." That is setting the tone. Keeping in mind, of course, Paul is in jail. He's writing to Timothy in Ephesus, where the church is being persecuted, but persecuted in ways that are not familiar to us. And they are actually being persecuted, put in jail, lives being taken. And I have not been in fear of my life due to my Christian faith ever. Our society, that isn't true. So I'm afraid that sometimes we hear things like this and we read scripture like this and we think, I don't even know what it means to be persecuted. The best thing we get is that neighbor who won't speak to us or that family member that doesn't invite us over to dinner anymore because we talk about Jesus. We're afraid something's going to happen, sometimes even to a level where we wouldn't dare eat dinner without praying first, and then we'll go to a restaurant and we're afraid to say anything. We have a fear of persecution, but it isn't real, is it? I mean, I haven't met anybody who's yet lost their life to being a Christian. Now, I do have some colleagues and some friends who live in other parts of the world where their lives are actually in danger because they do what I do. I don't know what that feels like. But in my observation and where we are in our world today and where we live in Western society and here in the United States, our persecution, actually, it's very subtle. Sometimes I think it would be easier if it was just dangerous. But it's not. It sort of sneaks in on us. And we are more distracted than persecuted. Amen? And the world around us presses in and we go, ooh, that's nice too. And we chase after the world. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to endure the persecution, the threats to his freedom, the threats to his life, the threat to the church. He has to endure it. In fact, if he hadn't endured it, we wouldn't be here. See, we have to endure where we are in society and what the world is pressing in on us. We have to be able to gain an understanding what exactly is happening to us that is keeping us from actually living fully into the truth that God is feeding into the depth of our soul. So we aren't in fear of our life, but we should be aware of our distraction. I believe, and I found this really wonderful article that qualified it better for me. We're living in this time of ease. This article was a couple years back, Psychology Today, something I like to read things from. George Mikkelson Foy, he just writes essays and novels. So this is from an essay that he wrote. And it is America's obsession with ease bringing us down. It says the culture of meds, fast food, and sedentary life may leave us unhappy. That's a reality to that. And he's speaking about it. And he begins to share how he was asked to speak at a conference. And he states this, "It was a proverbial tough act to follow that preceded me. For the first speaker was Austin Eubanks, a survivor of the Columbine Massacre." Now, this is somebody who has some understanding of what life might mean and how fragile it is at a level deeper than I do. And this person, Austin Eubanks, said this, being quoted by George Mikkelson Foy, In the months and years that followed, Eubanks says, he was treated and overtreated by medical and psychiatric professionals who massively subscribed painkillers for both physical and mental trauma. Ultimately, he resorted to self-medicating with illegal drugs. Now, I'm not saying to you those things aren't important, but they don't work by themselves. Finally, he came to realize that he had become a victim, not just of a national epidemic of gun violence, but of a national culture that focuses solely on eliminating pain without examining the root causes thereof. If it hurts, anesthetize it, seemed to be the watchword of everyone who, even with the best intentions, sought to help a man who was clearly suffering intensely. No one ever allowed him to suffer it out, to feel his pain, and to try to work it out, and by understanding and absorbing it, to let him live fully again. It was only when he figured this out that he was able to heal. He's saying that he had to find this time in his life, this moment where he could sit in that moment, that pain that was being brought to him through this experience that was no fault of his own. He had to find a time to sit in that and to find his way through it. The drugs weren't working. Nothing was doing the job except doing the job. He says this, if you want to feel better immediately, Eubanks told the Guardian newspaper shortly after another mass school shooting in Parkland, Florida, but you have to have the courage to sit in it and feel it, and if you can do that long enough, you will come out on the other side. The anesthetize the pain mindset is not confined to therapy or medicine. It pervades American life, where the sole goal seems to be to reduce the percentage of effort or discomfort, and by the same token, increase the share of ease and comfort in every aspect of our daily existence. And brothers and sisters, I would go so far as to say we are doing the same to our faith. I'm not supposed to challenge you. Clearly, I don't adhere to that. I'm supposed to tell you what you want to hear so that you don't leave. I'm supposed to be, see, the father's shaking his head. I just want to verify that. Thank you for the affirmation, Father. We're supposed to be your guide on this journey that's very difficult, and I'm not supposed to tell you it's difficult. I'm supposed to tell you what you want to hear so that you don't leave. But when we bring in things like, I don't know, the truth, and maybe some accountability, people are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I think we're just church shopping right now. Well, you're not church shopping. You're avoiding Jesus. Jesus says hard things. And check it out. It's here in the book. How do I know? Because he says hard things to me too. This journey that we're on, it's just not that simple. And if you're only looking to feel better, if you want to anesthetize your pain, what you're saying is, I'll just keep it. See, the thing we know about painkillers, in fact, all of us know that we are living in and coming, hopefully, to some sort of a close of a massive pandemic with opioids, amen? You know what the beauty of opioids are? Do you know why everybody gets stuck on them? See, they end up in pain, and then they take them. But you know what doesn't go away when you take an opioid? The pain. Your brain just doesn't feel it. The problem is your brain seriously enjoys the opioid. So it will convince you that you're in pain so that you'll give it to it. But the pain remains. It becomes a new kind of pain even if the physical pain is left. See, because it doesn't bring healing. It was never intended to bring healing. You took the pain medicine until the healing came. And when the healing came, then you would stop. If we continue to look for something that's just going to keep us from feeling our pain, brothers and sisters, we are never going to come to know Jesus the way he wants to know you. Because it doesn't matter who you are or what your pain is, whether it's sin, sorrow, loss, whatever it may be. The only way to Jesus fully is through it. And we take him with us in it. perfect example we're hearing today of how our society will just grab a hold of, make me feel better. You know, the struggle comes for someone like me on this side as people will come in to a faith community, or I watch in other places, and they come in and they're excited and they want to be a part of it, and then there something happens. I've told you this story before. I was an usher, obviously, a few years ago, so I do have that skill, should you need it. And a gentleman we went to church with, he met another woman who we went to church with, and they were later in life, and they got married. And he showed up one Sunday, and he was falling apart. I mean, he couldn't even speak to us. He kept bursting into tears. And we're like, what's going on? The ushers, just in case you think there's no ministry there. He said, she left. She left me. And he's weeping. Well, you should come. No, I'm just going to leave. I will come back to church when I feel better. You know what that tells me now, after all these years? He didn't know that the church is where you walk through your pain to Jesus. It's where you walk with Jesus to be free of your pain and your sorrow and your sin, your brokenness, whatever it may be. He didn't know, because the church for too many years has been told, make sure you don't upset anybody. Be careful how you speak to them, because they might leave. Well, brothers and sisters, if we don't tell you the truth, what's the point of being here? If you're not here to come to know Christ in a way that literally transforms your life, what are we for? Jesus does these things, but we have to be paying close attention. See, and Paul knows this time was going to come. He had some insight of what was happening in his own observation. He says this in chapter 4, verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires. Honestly, my biggest problem as a priest is I don't suit other people's desires. Happens a lot. I don't think I'm supposed to. I think what I'm supposed to do is do my very best to speak the truth. And as I just recently read last week, to tell the truth to the best of my understanding and ability and let God figure out the outcome. But if the church isn't going to speak the truth, if the church isn't going to live the truth, if we are going to be distracted, it is still a form of persecution, anything that stops the word of God through the church. Then we're not really fully being the church. Our ears are a little tickled, aren't they? Tell me what I want to hear, Father. Don't challenge me. I had a dear friend who had a ministry in Africa at some time back, and he would come to the States and go from church to church, and when I became a priest, he came to visit us and preach. And he says, what would you like me to preach? I said, I would like you to preach the gospel. He goes, well, sometimes when I travel, the rector of the church will tell me, don't challenge their people. I said, if you don't challenge my people, they won't know what you're talking about. And he said, well, okay. It's challenging. It's challenging for all of us. We're being lulled into this place of ease in our society, brothers and sisters, and it's finding its way into everything. Make it comfortable. Make it easy. And the moment it's not, we shop for something else. I say to you, if you want true freedom in Christ, grab a hold of him in your pain and let him carry you through it so that you can be truly free of it instead of just anesthetizing it and awaiting the next tool you'll need to avoid the reality that you're hurting, that you're sinful, that you're broken, and might be in need of, oh, what do we call that? A savior. It's almost like we're living into something Karl Marx said back in the mid-1800s. He said, religion is the opiate of the masses. Don't come here to avoid and get numb, brothers and sisters. Don't look for a Jesus that's going to give you some sort of a band-aid to get you through the next 5 to 6 days. Come to the healer. Come for the truth. Come for the help. Come for a savior.